This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.
And in the studio with us here, we have Matt Youngkin. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you're just saying that because it's true.
He's trying to be nice to us. Give him a break.
No.
So, Matt, what airplane are you flying here at AirVenture?
I'm flying a 1943 Twin Beach 18, and it's not designed for aerobatic flight, but that's not to say that it doesn't do it very well.
Well, obviously the airplane was never designed for that, and it's 68 years old.
That's correct.
Does the age of the airplane ever bother you while you're flying it?
Well, you got to be nice to it. You know, we do have a spar strap on it, and it's like I said, we don't stress the airplane very hard. And when I fly it, it's just, you know, 800 pounds above its empty weight. And said, I'd be nice to her, and she's really nice to me right back.
There's a radial engine, so they don't really care if they're inverted or upright. Well, the carburetor does, but the oiling system doesn't, does it?
Well, actually it does, but it's all a positive G show. The entire routine, never go below one positive G in flight, so... the oil and the fuel flows are generally not interrupted.
Well, you've heard about Bob Hoover with the Shrike taking people up and having them called Hoover's Heavers. Have you ever thought about taking passengers and calling them Youngkin's Yakkers?
Oh, man.
No, I'm kind of a lazy person by trade, and the idea of cleaning out the inside of an airplane just doesn't appeal to me at all.
It rarely does.
Yes, why puke in a perfectly good airplane?
Exactly. What are the things that you're concerned with while you're out there doing your aerobatic routine?
Well, you don't want to over-G the airplane. You don't want to over-boost the engines. The throttles and the prop levers kind of walk in this airplane, so I'm always readjusting them. Obviously want to keep it in the airshow box and put the maneuvers right in the center of the show line where they belong. The turnarounds in this airplane are a little bit difficult because you kind of have to point it away from the airport. There's no top window, so you kind of guess where the airport's going to be, and you do your wing over, and hopefully you get relatively close. It's just a different airplane to fly. You know, most of the maneuvers that I do in the Twin Beach, once I start the maneuver, I'm committed. You know, there's no backing out of it. So you got to make sure that all the gauges look right and you've got your proper altitude and airspeed to make the maneuver work, or you don't even attempt it.
Now, when we watch the plane fly, it rolls very slowly. Are you not using maximum roll rate, or is it just sluggish?
Well, it could be a little bit of both. It depends on, which part of the sequence you're watching. There are times when I've got the aileron all the way to the stop. There's other times where, no reason to go around that fast. But it is a heavy, sluggish airplane. And it's a dream to fly, but it's just different.
How about the control harmonies? Are the forces fairly easy to deal with in the airplane?
Well, they are. It rolls really nice. The pitch forces increase tremendously when you get some speed on it. I mean, the elevator gets really heavy. The rudders, they seem to work just fine at any speed. But, like I said, it's a very well-balanced airplane.
Now let's talk about special maintenance that you do, since you're sort of using it in a way it was unintended to be used.
Well, we, you've heard the expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That doesn't apply to us. We're constantly checking and replacing parts that would never break in 100 years. This is probably the most well-maintained Twin Beach in the United States right now because of what we're doing with it. And that's the reason we haven't had any significant problems with it during the sequence. It's a good, solid airplane.
Every time he brings it back, they put in new barf bags, whether they were used or not.
They probably have to change the lunch server, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
One of the things is you're flying a very old airplane here. How has parts availability affected the maintenance on the aircraft?
Well, the good news is I've got quite a stash of parts that Dad had when he was flying the airplane, and we haven't gone through most of them. When you need something, it's kind of hard to come by. Now, if you can wait on it, you can generally find it. But parts are getting rare and they're getting more expensive. Luckily, there's still enough Twin Beaches out there that there's a market for some of this. So it just depends on the parts you're looking for.
Yeah, and you hope that, like, if you were to consider buying a parts airplane, that most of its parts would be good.
Yeah, you would hope so. Most of that's pretty well up front, though. You can take a look and see what you got. And I haven't ruled that out yet. The problem is, if I bought a parts airplane, I'd want to leave enough of it together that I could put it on a stick outside the hangar, make a weather vane out of it.
Oh, jeez.
Now, that's a weather vane. One of the side benefits of using that aircraft is ferrying it from show to show. It must be wonderful. Plus, you can put all your gear in it.
Oh, absolutely. We bring everything, including the kitchen sink, with us to an air show.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I had a performer who's actually performing here at Oshkosh come up to me at another show, just really upset with me. He says, really envy people like you that bring your air show mount and your chase plane all wrapped up in one. You know, he's got a point.
Matt, what was it like the first time that you stepped into the airplane after your dad had been doing the act for so many years?
Well, it was, the cockpit was huge. The instrument panel stretched about 8 feet across, and the angle that I was sitting in the seat just felt funny. I mean, everything about the airplane just did not feel natural. You know, Dad and I, we never went out and did any of this in the Twin Beach. We did some, did some slow rolls and hammerheads and such in the decathlon. He gave me a little bit of training there, but I had to go out and learn all this myself, watching videos and talking with people that had seen him fly the airplane. And so I wasn't even checked out in a Twin Beach before he died. So, anyway, the instructor that taught us both how to fly checked me out in this Twin Beach and said, well, you know, you're not going to break it. Go out and do some experimenting with it. Let me know if you have any questions. And the more I flew the airplane, the smaller the instrument panel got. And pretty soon everything seemed to be within reach. You know what I mean? It became less overwhelming. And I got to tell you, rolling the airplane wasn't that big a deal. I could, it rolls like anything else, but when I pulled it over on its back the first time, looking out the window towards the wingtip, you know, for a horizon reference, and you're looking past an engine towards the wingtip, you never get over that. I've been performing in the airplane 6 years now, and I still have to stop and kind of look at that engine and shake my head when I'm going up through a loop or a Cubanade or something and think, that's just not supposed to be there.
Well, you also, you're also doing daytime shows, and you're also doing nighttime shows as well. What special considerations are you looking at when you do a night show?
Well, the night show is totally backwards from the day show. You know, the day show is kind of, it's clumsy and graceful in its own way. The night show is more powerful and in your face because of the soundtrack and the lights and the choreography. As far as flying the airplane at night, aerobatics are a little bit different. You can't use the normal horizon references that you would use during the day show because they don't exist. They're dark. So you have to pick out a row of street lights or maybe some cars driving down a highway nearby and use that as a reference for doing a maneuver. And altitude and airspeed is very important. I mean, it is all the time, but it really is at night because you have fewer options if you have a problem. We step up the night show 500 feet for safety reasons. I would say it's more labor-intensive than the day show is, tremendously. I actually have referenced the artificial horizon and the gyros in the airplane during a maneuver or at the conclusion of a maneuver to help get my bearings back because the horizon was kind of hard to follow. Or, you know, the horizon I had picked out was kind of hard to reacquire after the maneuver. So, like I said, it can be a little tricky. The other interesting thing about the night show is I actually listen to the music that the crowd hears on the ground live in the cockpit, and that's how I'm able to coordinate the lights and the timing of the maneuvers and that sort of thing so that it all fits. And when it works great. And when it doesn't quite work out like you planned, it just irritates you the rest of the weekend because you only get one shot to show the crowd what you can do with the airplane at night.
Well, the fact is they don't know unless they travel around.
We're not going to tell
them. No, we're not. Unless they follow you around to every air show, they're not going to see the differences. Even with YouTube, it's hard to spot the differences.
Well, I guess that's true, but I know, and it bothers me.
Well, you're a perfectionist,
right,
that's why.
Do you have to make sure that the lights don't flash back and blind you, like bounce off the runway or something like that and get glare in your eyes?
Actually, we designed the light setup on the airplane so that I don't have that problem. The top of the airplane glows in the dark. The bottom of it twinkles. We put all the twinkly stuff on the bottom for a reason, so I don't have to look at it. The lights that are in the cabin that shine out on the wings are blocked by shower curtain that I have Velcroed up behind the cockpit. So anyway, that keeps that light out, and they can be distracting, but yeah, you just get used to it.
Okay. It is a spectacular sight to see this airplane all lit up at night. It's just unreal. How much time and money did you put into the lighting system?
Well, as far as time, we perfected this over a couple of years, and the money side of it, just labor and wiring pretty much. I have to thank my sponsors, Lopresti Aviation and Whelan Engineering, for the LEDs, strobes, and the boom beam lights. You know, they were very generous and gave us anything that we wanted to experiment with and make this work.
Well, it's a spectacular machine by any account. And nice and noisy, too. Love that radio.
You know, that's one of the things about that airplane that really endears it to the air show audiences. Not only is this thing a very, very pretty airplane, but she's making a lot of noise with the prop tips, and you've got tons of smoke coming out of this thing. This is just awesome.
What kind of speeds are you hitting on the bottom of your loops, like before you start to pull out? Because it looks like you're going pretty good.
Are you talking about after the loop?
Well, as you're doing your start, you're doing your pull out at the bottom of the loop.
Yeah, somewhere around 160, 170 miles an hour. It's not quite as fast as it looks, but
it's not. And you're in there pulling like mad. Go, come on, baby, come on.
I'm sure you've had opportunities to talk at the airplane while you're working it through the routine. Is there any changes or additions you're going to do to the routine for, say, next year?
Well, I don't know.
Jet engines.
Dad was actually talking about doing that, putting a couple of J85s under this thing so it would climb straight up.
Oh, my.
Oh,
and
man.
I thought about that. The problem is, well, you get up, 5,000-6,000 feet above the ground. Now what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Because you can't go fast coming down.
No, you got to be careful of your never exceed speed.
How about a flat inverted spin?
Well, as far as that flat inverted spin, you know, I've always said that airplane will do anything once.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's not see that ever demonstrated. That would not be good.
No, probably not.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us.
Matt, it's a pleasure to see you again. Good to see you flying out there at the air show. And got to tell you, we're looking forward to the night show tonight.
And if you need ballast,
we're good.
We're available.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a privilege to be here, and I think we're going to have good weather for it.
I think we are, too.
Tonight's show ought to be spectacular.
Matt, do us all here a favor and be careful up there.
Absolutely.
Yep. Don't forget to wave.
I'll do my best.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you.
You're listening to Fast Eddie.
And Digital Dave. It is EAA Radio.